last week we were in Kuf Mem Hei Sif Gimel in the Shulchan Aruch itself. We were discussing the issue of not going to the churches, but whether a church maintains its status as a base of Avodah Zarah even if there is no longer worshipping going on in there. So the Shulchan Aruch actually is not talking about necessarily a church right away. It's talking about a building that is worshipped. That's the topic in Gimel. Bayis shebanu mitchilashi hei habayis atzmu nevan. This is built so that the house would be worshipped. I don't know of such houses. If anybody has any examples of a house that was okay, but anyways, so v'chein hamishtachave lebeis banoi hareza aser banas. So too, if you bow down to a house that is built, so then that house becomes aser bana. V'haybanoi v'saido v'chaido l'shem elilis ad shenischadesh notal mashachidesh. And if it was built and was like plastered for the purpose of another, you know, of a Avodah Zarah, you have to Achin Yischadish until there's a part added on. Nota Mashachidish. One would have to take down that which was added on. V'achidish Aser Bana, and that new part which was added on then becomes Aser Bana. Mifnei Shasal La'avdol. This was made to be worshipped. The Shara Bayis Mutter, and the rest of the house would be Mutter. Okay. Habanim ahichnis elilim l'toch habayis. Let's say they just bring avodah zara, meaning idols, into a house. Kolzman shehu sham habayis aser bahana hotzia hutter habayis. So all the time that's in the house, it's aser bahana hotzia. Once you take him out, so it's aser, it's mutter bahana. And so it's a temporary issue as long as there are idols there. If the idols are gone, so then easy come, easy go. So it adds the Ramah, v'dafka shelo huksa habayis lekach, as long as house wasn't set aside for this. Aval huksa lekach eno mutter, elim kein, hotzia misham derech bittel. That's not just taken out, but taken out in a way of nullifying the place. It sounds like if you have a building that was built for the purpose of Avodah Zarah, so it's not just enough to take the Avodah Zarah out. You have to take the Avodah Zarah out in a way that's going to be mevatel it from Avodah Zarah. Da'inu shelo lehachnis odshan, that it's never going to be brought in here again. And if a Jew owned it, so with a Jew, bittel doesn't work. A Jew with a avodah zarah, so bittel doesn't work. Okay, so now we try to. So if I were just looking at this ramah, so what is it? What is the halacha about a church building? So it sounds like from here, right? Even if it was built for the purpose of a avodah zarah, and we'll even assume that the church is a avodah zarah. So if you take out all the stuff that's inside of it, so then it wouldn't be a problem of avodah. So it sounds like it loses its avodah zarah status, and then it should be usable as a shul, right? That's what it sounds like. I should have made some copies here, but in Hilchos Beis HaKnesses, hello. So in Hilchos Beis HaKnesses, Simen Kuf Nun Dalet Sif Yud Aleph. So it has the halacha above about in the Shulchan Aruch about a wax candle that a Shenasnam Kusli Avodas Elilim that was given to worship Avodah Zarah. VeChiven Shemashen VeNasnam O Machron LeYisrael, and then it was used, but then it was given or sold to a Jew. So you're not allowed to use that candle in the Beis HaKnesses, right? So this candle at least was given for the purpose. Well, no, it sounds like it was used. Kibui, it was extinguished. So it was used for Avodah Zarah. So a Jew is not allowed to use that candle and light it in the Beis HaKnesses. So why is that? So the Mishnah Berurah here is comments. Then the whole hadlaka shel mitzvah, for all lightings of mitzvah, could go in hadlakas near Shabbos. The chana can't use it for a mitzvah. Olum l'ifneim da'aser. V'udin l'chol mili de mitzvah. Ein osim midavar shena'ase le'akum. That you can't do a dvar mitzvah with something that was made for an akum, something that was made for avodah zarah. So while from our halacha and our ramah, it sounds like it might lose its status of avodah zarah, of an avodah zarah house, still something that was made for the purpose of avodah zarah, it sounds like you're not allowed to then use for a mitzvah purpose. So it's not just, so how do you resolve that? Well, the Ramah might lose its status, but to use it for a mitzvah is a whole nother level. So what does it sound like from that first line? So there it sounds like you wouldn't be able to use a building that was built for a Avodah Zarah to use that for as a shul. So Inyan Lasos, the Mishnah Berurah actually deals with this directly. Inyan Lasos Mibayis Beis Tefila Shel Akum Beis HaKnesses. But to make a church, right, the base tefillah of the non-Jews into a shul, the Magen Avraham writes, lahakel, that's permissible, v'atam kilo na'avad habayis atzma mi'olam, because they never actually worshipped the building, v'das Eli Rabba nota lahachmer lasos beis haknesses kavua. Now Eli Rabba is machmer to make a beis haknesses kavua, v'chimeduma sha'olam no'agin lahakel. But it seems to me, the Mishnah Berurah says, that the minhag is mekil on this question. He says, and only he adds in only for those houses where they didn't actually have idols, which they worshipped. Lahamid sham al elilehem, meaning to stand there their idols. Aval elishma midim sham elim, but if they actually had the idols there, so then it would be prohibited. So the Mishnah Berurah then comes down with the following distinction, which now has very practical ramifications. He says, for a church, so we'll allow a church use, provided that there are never actually idols in there. If it's only a place that was used for worship of a god someplace else, even though it wasn't necessarily our god or it might have been multiple god, you know, whatever, however one translates the Avodah Zarah, if there wasn't an idol actually there, so the Mishnah Berurah is notel lahakel, says that he leans to be makel on that issue.
Maybe it's just a place of assembly and then worship.
And they're worshipping something else, yeah. So in the Be'er Halacha, right, there's the Mishnah Berurah in the Be'er Halacha. So in the Be'er Halacha, he spells it out a little bit more, the way he uses the term, right? The Lo Dami Lineiros Shava Sha'asul, first he quotes the Magen Avraham, it's not like the candles, Afla Achar Habitul, the Sham Chal Aleim Al Koponim Shem Noi Akum. He says the candles were used, that actually became known as Noi Akum. That was something to beautify the idol, as opposed to a church. So the building, was the building used to beautify the idol? Well, maybe. It might have also just been used as a house, as a place to be. So therefore he, except for the Be'er Lacha, says if there were never idols in there, so he thinks that, again, he says the same thing here, one has the right to be lenient and allow it. Now there is a, there are some...
So the current churches, they have the images,
mm-hmm.
but and they may be there, but they don't necessarily worship. They just happen to be there. They don't
right, those are just designs. They're not really worshiping those images. Those would not, those aren't, right, those aren't idols. So I think that's, so this Mishnah Berurah is what people rely on in order to...
Protestants, for sure, but what about the Catholics?
So Catholics, I don't think they're worshiping anything in the church. They're worshiping the Trinity, which doesn't appear, which isn't an idol in the church. They might have things
true.
Representative, but they're not bowing down to idols like we would imagine in the base of Avodah Zarah. First there is in the Sefer Piskei Tshuvos on this. So he has one point that he makes from Chassam Sofer, I believe, yes, that there are those that do agree that it could be. That the churches themselves are often right. Gedolei haposkim shetzuras shasi ve'erev hanimsa b'vatei knisyos mishtachvim lehem dino ketzelim avodah zarah. He says, wait a second. The church might have a din of itzelim. We actually dealt with this, right? Whether a cross has the din of itzelim, it might possibly. And the churches themselves are designed in the shape of a cross. So if that's the case, it might be that you can't actually remove the tzelim from the church. So there are a bunch of these places where they've bought churches.
KTA probably has like a cross.
Well, there they don't. Right, they do.
Yeah,
they do. If you look at it, they do. That's how these churches are designed. A lot of them are designed that way. In Rochester, there is one of the shuls there was bought from a church. It's on St. Regis Street. So of course the sisterhoods is known as the Sisters of St. Regis, and they cut off one of the arms of the cross. I mean, you're in the sanctuary, one of the arms is cut off to be the rabbi's office. So at least, you know, when you're out in the shul, part of it is cut off. But he raised that point that it could be that the entire thing qualifies as some kind of tselem, and with regards to there actually being tselemim in the building, that might be a problem. Meaning, the churches, even though we're not going to say that there were actually things that were bowed down to actually leave church artifacts there, right, that might still be a problem. So if the entire building is an artifact, so there's a Chassam Sofer that suggests that as being an issue. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva.
Did the KTA do something like that?
Yes, I don't know, and I didn't do any. I didn't do any regional research.
When H was there, I think it was a church.
I don't think it changed anything since H was there. But whatever. I'd rather not go into local issues. I'm just going to discuss the sugya and let the facts lay where they do. So Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuvas in Chelek Aleph Siman Mem Tes. Entitled "Bedaver Based Tifla Shel Akum Shenischari Vimutu Liknoso L'Taknu L'Veis Haknesses." So it's permitted to buy a church in order to use as a shul. Now his shaila here being asked, this was asked in Tufshin Yud Beis, which goes back a while. That goes back 50 something years. So there, it was the building was Tiflish based Tifla Shel Notzrim, a church that was destroyed and then was repaired and then was destroyed again. And all that was left was the walls. So the question wasn't, can we just kick the, let the Christians leave and we're just going to move in. The question was, can we rebuild their walls that were pre-existent already and turn it into a shul? So Rav Moshe says, well, this minhag that we have here, where we make, apparently this goes all the way back, this minhag that we have here that we make turn their churches into shuls, which we see in many places, they rely on this Magen Avraham, and I see the Mishnah passing that way as well. He says, ain't daiti nochem mizeh, I don't like it. The pashat shemius zeh lemitzvah, that this is mius, it's disgusting, this for the mitzvah, v'chein mevar sham v'vir alacha, sheb'elu sham idu sham alilim yesh lasser, that if they actually had idols there, we should be aser. V'lachein afshalu bati lasser, so I'm not going to aser, as elu bati knesil, shekvar nasu al pi haras chacham, they acted based on the advice of Tamidi Chachamim. And also it's b'di'evin now, meaning if it's done, it's done, I'm not going to aser these places, but he said, I don't think it's right. So I don't think it's a good idea. He says, "Aval al kolpanim mipi lo teitzei heter zeh." Because from my mouth, this heter ain't coming out. This court blanche heter to just buy churches and rebuild it. Now he goes on and says, in this case, which you're specifically asking me about, where it was destroyed and now you're rebuilding, so he says that's okay. And he says, I'll bring you. It's comparable to Shulchan Aruch Siman in Aruch Chaim Yud Aleph Ches, where it says that people bow down to an animal. So the wool is then pasul, it's achilik ben hamishtachave lebehema shetzamra pasul letzitzis, lemishtachave lepishtan natua shekashul letzitzis, mitam sharei nishtana. Right, that if you, well, if you bow down to the animal, that's going to be, the wool is then going to be a problem. But if you just have the,
flax plant,
right, and it was planted, so that's going to be mutter. Why? Because that's totally different. You've totally changed, it's totally changed its state from the plant to turning into flax. Similarly, to if people bow down, apparently there's a Rambam, if you bow down to wheat, so the wheat is then permitted to be turned, to be used for matzahs. You're allowed to use that wheat for a mitzvah, because the wheat does not compare to the matzah. It's totally undergone the change. But to just plainly not make any changes, Rav Moshe is not comfortable with it. So the Fiske Tshuva quotes opinions on both sides of the issue, but it's not so clear. He says this case is mutter, and he adds in, he says if you change it significantly, that would also make it better. So I would add in that maybe at Tzad Lekula, in some suburban areas, like us, would be that if you can't change it, meaning to find a building that you can, to find space to actually build a shul that's not going to run into zoning problems and that, right, it's not so simple to do. So that could be a tzad lahakel, a reason to be makel as well. But it's important keeping in mind that Rav Moshe is not so thrilled with the prospect of just, going in, buying the building and just taking over, putting an Aron Kodesh there and saying, Baruch Hashem, we've made it and everything's wonderful.
In general, because it was used as a church.
Because it was used for worship, yeah.
There's no wire in the Bible.
Yeah. There is a similar issue, though not the same. So So this book, we've Community Covenant and Covenant, and Community Covenant and Commitment, Selected Letters of Communication from Rav Soloveitchik. There's all these fascinating letters that he had. So the very first letter in this book is a letter that he writes to Myron Taylor. Who's Myron Taylor? So he was the former U.S. representative to the Vatican. Sorry, he doesn't write it to Myron Taylor. He writes it to someone named Milton Konvitz. Myron Taylor was the former U.S. representative to the Vatican, former chairman of the board of U.S. Steel, and he donated $1.5 million to his alma mater, Cornell University, for the construction of an interfaith center that would bear the name of his wife, Annabelle. So this takes place in 1950. So $1.5 million in 1950 is a significant chunk of change. So he wanted to donate this interfaith chapel. So this became he has here something that there's 3,000 Jewish people on campus and about 500 faculty members. And there was this fellow person named Dr. Konvitz who argued against the acceptance of these depictions. Part of it was that they were going to have these sketches on it. So this fellow, Milton Konvitz, he's a professor at the school. He's the son of Rabbi Yosef Konvitz, who died in 1944, who was a member of the Agudas HaRabban, which meant he was a European Rav, who was friends with Rav Soloveitchik. And they were going to have these sketches on it with depictions of human figures such as Joshua and Yirmiyahu and Jeremiah and citations from the Bible. Dr. Konvitz argued against the acceptance of these depictions, but that was met with differing views on this point. He approached the president, who was reluctant to intervene unless he had authoritative and definitive rulings that Jews cannot accept such designs. So Dr. Konvitz wrote to the Rav, asking him if he would write a tshuva, only addressing the issue of there being these human depictions. This gets into an issue that we've discussed a few weeks back already about having the human depictions in these stained glass windows. So the first couple of pages, he actually deals with that sugi that we dealt with about there being human depictions or not, and he has this philosophical approach where he says that having human, he goes through whether they're existent as like models, or whether they're just whether two-dimensional or three-dimensional, and he says having human depictions actually goes against our assumptions about what tefillah is supposed to be, which is interesting. He says, the human figure as a decorative motif in a synagogue conflicts with the very essence of prayer. The latter expresses the creature consciousness, the awareness of absolute dependence on the surrender to God. The feeling centrality of man is superseded by one of helplessness, worthlessness, and wretchedness. That a person is supposed to approach Hashem saying, I'm nothing, I'm never, I can't do anything for myself. If you have these soaring humans on the side, so that's going to that doesn't fit with the motif that one is looking for in the shul. So he says that it's he goes on to say that that's prohibited. Then he goes on to say, in conclusion, I wish to take the liberty of giving expression to another aspect of the problem, although I have not been consulted about it. Now, I'm not sure I heard it from anybody else, but I came up with my own little saying that answering only shailas that you are asked is a siman for arichas yamim in the Rabbanus. He goes on to say, I strongly object to the use of an interfaith chapel at all. The halacha is inequivocally opposed to it, and prohibition is even more strict than that concerning human images. I understand, of course, that the statement implies in terms of public relations, meaning it doesn't look good for us. However, I cannot help but be frank and outspoken about it. The idea of a common house of prayer is absolutely irreconcilable with the Judaic philosophy of worship. He says there should be no retreat on the part of Jews from full participation in all phases of natural life. He goes in to say that we want to be there with everybody else, but when it comes to the shul, we need to have our own shuls. We need to have our own independent modes of worship, and to have an interfaith chapel is inappropriate. He concludes here, I wish to express my high regard and esteem for your courageous stand on this matter, which behooves a worthy son of my late illustrious friend Rabbi Konvitz. I am certain that were he alive, he would give you a similar opinion. Sincerely yours, Joseph Soloveitchik. P.S. I would greatly appreciate it if you would keep the contents of this letter confidential. Please do not show it to anyone except those persons who are directly concerned with this matter. How it then ends up being
so long ago.
Published.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know what the rules were on that. But Rav Soloveitchik argued that the... So that's worse than this, meaning what we're discussing is buying it over and changing it over. What is what all these tshuvas mention is, to even get started on this question, you have to assume that the Jews have actually bought the place. If they're just renting it out, reform synagogues that will rent a church for high holidays and things like that, right? So that's completely inappropriate. That would be against this halacha. This halacha is only comes up if you're actually purchasing it from them, because that's actually would divest it of its avodah zara status. So it loses that status. And the question is, can you then use it for a mitzvah? And that's a subject to dispute. And
Which university was Cornell?
What?
Which university was it?
Cornell.
Yeah. I think New York. Okay.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're in the airport or something, and you have to have an interfaith chat.
Right.
So it sounds like according to everybody's
other right. I think you should not go. I was thinking about that.
In the lobby or something.
Yeah, a lot of hospitals also have this interview channel. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Better off not going.
Kind of usually they it's a separate show.
Yeah, exactly. Because most places have this little, even if it doesn't have crosses, you shouldn't use it. So.
Right. That's what it seems like. Yes. Okay, so that's issue A. So let me just go to the end of this simon here, which has a little bit of relevance, halacha l'maisa. See if you can spot it.
Where are we at now?
So in the Shulchan Aruch, Chuf Mem Hei Sif Ches. So if we recall, so this siman is dealing that the mountains and the valleys and the water and the hills, so none of them can be attached to it any halacha of avodah zarah. So the Shulchan Aruch goes on to say, not only that, but Bali Chaim as well, Inan Ne'asarin, that Bali Chaim are not prohibited, Shafilu Hishtachave Lebehema Shelo Lo Nesra, that even if you would bow down to an animal, so that animal, or a person would bow down to their animal, lo nesra, the animal won't become prohibited. Right? Someone else's animal is not such a big deal, because the person can't damage somebody else's stuff. But even if you bow down to your own animal, so we're not going to say that it's prohibited. Asei ba maisa, now if you actually did something to it, sheshachta leililim, that you shechted it for to a god, or some entity that is distinct from God, so afilu simen echad, even if you only do a little bit. Now, simen echad means, I think it's still alive, even if you do part of simen echad.
But like one?
Yeah, the beginning of it. At that stage, it hasn't, right? So simen echad, nesra. Afilu eino shelo, even if it's not yours. V'dafka ovi kolchavim, oser davar she'eino shelo. Only a non-Jew, v'dafka ovi kolchavim, oser davar she'eino shelo, would prohibit something which is not theirs. Aval Yisrael, but if a Jew would shecht another Jew's animal, l'shem avodah zarah, eino osir shel chaveir, shavadei eino mechavin el otzar. Because a Jew is certainly not worshipping avodah zarah, they're just trying to drive their friend crazy. But a person can prohibit their own animal by shechting it l'shem avodah zarah, or having a non-Jew shecht it l'shem avodah zarah. Now, who cares? L'shem avodah zarah doesn't sound like you would go ahead and eat it. Well, you would perhaps, first of all, whether it's Asr Bahana or not, that's one issue. Can you sell it to somebody else? And second of all, this is the premise of those that want to say that if you assume the whole Dr. Berger Mahalach to Lubavitch, so this would be the premise to say that one shouldn't use a Lubavitch Shchita. Right? That would be this halacha, I believe. Plus you're shechting to an individual, to an entity, not one's own, if such things happen. So v'yesh omrim shafilu yimish lo chelik b'alit, even if you have a portion of it, eno oser v'im Yisrael mumar hu o shehisru bo v'kabel hasura hareza oser. So if he has a part of it, it's not going to be prohibited. I mean, based on the previous part, if he shechts someone else's animal, this is not good because he's just driving him crazy. But even if he owns a portion of it, it's still not going to prohibit it because he's just driving his partner crazy. However, if Yisrael mumarhu, but if he's known that he's gone off the derech, became a mumar, osha hasru bo v'kabel hasra, or they warned him and he accepted the warning. He said, don't do this. You have to avodah zarah and whatever. So, and he says, I know that I'm doing it anyways. Hariza Oser, it's going to be prohibited. We're going to rule that as he's going to make that thing Aser Bahana. So that issue comes up, I guess, a little bit here and there. Sif Tess says, Afal Pi Shabali Chaim Inam Nesarim.
So?
Yeah?
So now, in a Bas V'chol situation, so if this thing was shechted, right, and it was cooked in chol, right, so does it become a chanan?
Because of...
Because now is it...
Maybe you say Enes or Chalas or...
Can we be somech on that Dabam or Vava and say that that's not really...
As soon as it's a dindaraisa, so if it's a dindaraisa, perhaps one would say Enes or Chalas. So if you would have it as a cheeseburger, so maybe you wouldn't be over on Basar Bachalav, you would be left with...
Just the
Isser of Achilles, Hanabe of Takrovas of Odazara. Not a great place to be, but interesting nonetheless. And Sif Tess, Afal Pisha Bali Chaim in a Nesarim, so even though Bali Chaim are not prohibited or can't be made Usser, Im Hichliv Bali Chaim Be'ililim Nesru, that if it was made in exchange, you bought the cow in exchange for an idol, I mean, you sold the idol and now have the cow, so that cow is then going to be prohibited. So aval chalife chalipin kigon shehichlif bali chayim b'chalifas elilim mutarim. But if it's a flip of a flip, you, for instance, you sold the bali chayim for something, you switch bali chayim for another bali chayim that was once bought for elilim, so that's going to be mutter. V'yish omrim gam b'zeh, v'yish osrim gam b'zeh. And some aser that, who, when it says v'yish osrim at the end, who would that be? So that would be the Rambam, right? The Rambam is extra makud with this, with these things. I think the Vilna Gaon points you to somehow that that's l'shitasa with some sheet of the Rambam. I didn't work that out what he was referring to. Can't figure out how this would really come into play. We can think to the Indian hare also buying Indian cows or Indian sheep. Perhaps somehow it would fall into some issue there, but can't figure out practically if there are any ramifications to this, at least in our country with our current meat supply around here. But okay, so Atkan, that concludes the issue of of objects that can't become a Avodah Zarah, and we'll continue on with some more Avodah Zarah studies in the week to come.